This is Good Karma Wrestling. Welcome to another edition of GKW. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With me, as always, from ESPN in West Palm, he is Brian Rowitz, and from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, he was apparently hanging out in the band for MJF last night. He is Jonathan Hood. We'll get to MJF. We'll get to AEW, especially since they had a pretty big announcement last night. But where we begin is the biggest news of the week. We go back to, of course, WWE being purchased by Endeavor. They're going to then combine UFC and WWE into a brand new company, meaning Vince McMahon will be back in charge. We did a special podcast, if you want to listen back to it, wherever you get your podcasts, when this news broke on Monday. But clearly some more things have happened since midday Monday. We've had the Raw after WrestleMania, which included an hour commercial free that featured, I think, 2 minutes of wrestling. I think that's what we got. 2 minutes of actual wrestling on Monday in that commercial free hour. We got Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar after an advert. You know, everybody got really excited. And, oh, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, we're going to get see a wrestling match on Monday Night Raw. Well, that didn't happen as Brock Lesnar turned on Cody Rhodes before the tag match could even happen. So a lot of things going on in the world of WWE. And amongst that, reports that Vince was sitting back at Gorilla. And he did say himself during an interview with CNBC that he doesn't want to get in the weeds, but ultimately seems to be back in charge of creative. All that said, how do you boys feel about the future direction of the WWE?
Well, when Triple H was there in charge for, what, 8 or 9 months, there was stability there to the point where you had former wrestlers, their agents, and also current wrestlers that want to leave AEW, leave the indies, and to be able to work with Triple H and Stephanie. This is what some of the wrestlers wanted because Vince was out, and so you had a feeling with Triple H in the chair that there was an opportunity to show what you do on Raw and SmackDown to be able to move up in the company because Triple H is more open-minded when it comes to these things. But the thing is, though, is that Vince McMahon worked his way back in. And according to reports, I've heard several wrestlers say he's like an 80-year-old Tasmanian devil. As soon as he comes back, he does the same things he did 9 months to 12 months ago, tearing up scripts, bro-its, and doing whatever he wants. The idea that he comes right back in the chair and does the same things he did before, we're doing last-second changes. You had Omos sitting back there eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch in the back. Was that even supposed to be on Raw? Hey, pal, want to get out there? He goes, I don't even have my gear. We'll find some gear. That just shows you where the company was a year ago, and you're going right back to the same cycle of bad booking and really not being the best at being a booker and a leader for this company.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the report started coming out late Monday, early Tuesday, like, hey, that was a Vince run Raw. If you watch wrestling, if you've watched WWE, if you were tuning out for a while, at the end of Raw, you're like, you know what? That was a Vince Raw. Like, Gabe, you mentioned the commercial-free hour. I started Raw like an hour or two late and was just sort of fast-forwarding through things I didn't want to see. I didn't realize it was a commercial-free hour until the next day. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I started, I think, 2 hours late and finished about 20 minutes after the show actually ended because there was just so much crap to just fast-forward through. Like, sorry, Omos versus Elias doesn't get me pumped up for anything. Elias, sorry. Like, to answer the question how I feel, I don't feel great. The only positive I'll say is, maybe I've got some more hours in my life now to watch some random indie shows out of gyms because Raw and SmackDown, you can watch it a lot quicker now.
We're not off to a great start. Right? Again, ripping up a script hours beforehand, starting over from scratch. You know, the whole thing of, you know, Brock Lesnar turning on Cody, apparently that was planned very, very late in the day. Now, and don't get me wrong, like, that seems like it could be intriguing, but honestly, when Paul Heyman's not involved with Brock Lesnar, I become skeptical. Like, we didn't, like, Paul Heyman wasn't involved with the Omos thing. I wasn't into it.
Are you 100% confident that it didn't result in Roman versus Brock?
Oh, God. No, I can't be. Can't be confident because, look, if you're going to tell a story of Cody overcoming some obstacles on his way back to Roman. Like, I could sign up for that. You can sign me up for that. But it also, like, Sami Zayn's been the hottest thing. We continue to talk about it. I bring it up every single week. Sami Zayn, hottest thing in WWE. Guarantee that thing's going to get cooled down. Like, yep. There's no chance that the tag team championships and the tag team champions are going to be featured prominently with Vince in charge. Reports from Sean Ross Sapp and Dave Meltzer saying that morale just plummeting after this because there are a lot of wrestlers who are cut by Vince that are fearful of their jobs. And, you know, shockingly that, you know, wrestlers who are trying to put on an entertaining show not knowing what they're doing an hour before the program, turns out that's not great for morale. Wow. Who would have guessed it? And so, no, I am terrified. Like, the fact that Vince is back in charge and the fact that Vince – and look, Vince is the greatest booker of all time. Greatest booker of all time. He's 80 years old. He's lost his fastball. He's out of touch.
Yes.
Like, that's what happens when you get old. It's so hard to stay relevant and stay on top of things. And the way this dude just has run things over the last 5 years, it wasn't very interesting. I'm not saying Triple H was perfect, but he was a hell of a lot better than Vince.
So on YouTube, Gerald Reed says, I'm scared. No new supporters, old superstars aging, losing fans daily. Better question, how long will it last under Vince? I'm glad Gerald asked that question. How long is going to be under Vince? Here's the answer, Gerald. So do you realize that this is the first time since Vince's dad was running the Worldwide Wrestling Federation that Vince McMahon, the Vince that we know now, is working for someone? It's the first time that he hasn't been the actual boss under this Endeavor deal. Remember, the WWE sold to Endeavor. And if you go back to that CNBC press conference, Vince jokingly, with a wink and a nod, told, was it Ari, the guy next to him?
Ari Emanuel, who's the CEO of Endeavor.
He says to Emanuel, I thought you were working for me, pal. Ha, ha, ha. No, actually, Vince, you're working for him. This is why this will not work long term. I will tell this to WWE fans are concerned about the direction of the company. I'm not sure how long this is going to be, but it's not going to be long term because there's going to be TV deals coming up. And of course, there's going to be a vote with this whole thing on whether or not Vince McMahon should still be in command. I think this is a great sweetheart deal for Endeavor to say, oh, we need Vince. Vince has to be here. He's such a creative mind. He's a creative genius. But I'm just telling you that Vince McMahon hasn't had to answer to anybody since 1983. And so now here's in 2023. He presides over creative. But I don't think that this is the long-term deal. As a matter of fact, because it's UFC and the WWE, with them being together, guys, I think that this is going to work for the short term. But with Vince at the helm, no. I don't think that this is a long-term deal.
See, I completely disagree with that because when you look at it, and we talked about it on Monday, Endeavor is not a wrestling company. They just see dollars. And what they're going to see is 1.5 to 2 million people watching Raw every week, over 2 million people watching SmackDown every week. They're going to continue to see that. They're going to see full arenas because the 40-year-old in, you know, middle of nowhere Kansas says, oh, Monday Night Raw, I've heard of that. Let me take my kid. They're going to go to that. They're going to fill out arenas. The merchandise is going to sell. The wrestling fans like us will be impacted, but the overall bottom line probably won't be because it's still going to be that brand name. It is the WWE, and that's what's ultimately going to matter to Endeavor.
But, bro, it's not about money. It's about power when it comes to Vince.
Sure.
Because he has generational wealth. I'm just saying that the first disagreement that Endeavor has with Vince, who do you think is going to win that? It should be Endeavor because they're the owners. This is why this will be a disconnect for Vince to realize that you're actually not the one in power. You can do whatever you want in creative. But I'm just saying that Vince wants things his way. And I don't know if he can have everything his way with Endeavor being his boss.
See, I agree with that, but what's Endeavor going to, you know, interject in? What are they going to argue on? Like, if Vince says, hey, Omos and Roman are main eventing Mania, they don't care. They're like, oh, yeah, look at that guy. That's a monster. That's going to sell some tickets.
The board of directors still could vote him out. Just remember the last time there was a vote? Do you know Nick Khan did not vote for Vince to return? You know that, right? I mean, that's the truth. So, I mean, they could throw him overboard and get him out of the company again. And by the way, do not be surprised if there's more to come with Vince. This is not the last thing. And he signed a lot of checks to try to get out of his sexual deviant behavior while he was the head of the WWE. Wouldn't be surprised if there's more. And again, do you want that smoke if you are Endeavor? I don't know.
I just, if something like that, if more accusations like that, I see Endeavor getting involved. But other than that, like, Endeavor is spinning off a new company and more or less putting Vince in charge of it.
Right.
Like, Ari Emanuel, I don't know how much he's going to be involved in any day-to-days. Obviously, ultimately, big-time decisions will have to be run through Endeavor because they'll be the parent company. But they're spinning off a WWE and UFC into a new company in which Vince is going to be the high, like, from my understanding, the highest thing up in that company. Whatever it is, like, he's going to be above Dana White.
Not for the long haul. It will not be the long haul. I'm going to stay, plant my flag on that comment. It will not, because again, you guys are looking at the money and looking at how much dollar, and it's going to be a lot, by the way, because Gabe, you hit on it on our Monday podcast. Because when Mark Shapiro said we like the UFC model when it comes to pay-per-view, that then when the next TV deal comes in. Peacock aside, it would not surprise me if UFC and the WWE are both on ESPN.
Sure.
I mean, the WWE is so light, and they don't bleed, and they don't do blood and guts. It's a Disney-like product. Hey, if the UFC's on ESPN, right. WWE certainly can be. And now they both could be under Endeavor. So, again, you guys are looking at the dollars, and the dollars will always be there. But there's something about Vince and power that's going to be a disconnect here. You'll see.
We've seen how Endeavor handled Dana White and like all his transgressions. They were fine with that. And Dan Le Batard pointed out, which I thought was a pretty good point this week, where, you know, they were so quiet, Endeavor, with the Dana White stuff happened, where he is on video striking his wife and they had nothing to say about that. And Le Batard pointed out it's probably because they were in the middle of making this deal and you can't put your foot down on Dana and be like, hey, welcome into Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
So that probably played into that. And like they sort of set that precedent for themselves right now. But yeah, I don't think they care. I do think ultimately we go down that line where, you know, we see the UFC on ABC on a Saturday afternoon now. Like you're seeing some of that stuff. So ultimately the WWE is going to grow. I think they figured out it worked. Like they know the name McMahon. That's all they know from a wrestling standpoint. I think Vince is still going to get his way, and as wrestling fans, that sucks.
Ari Emanuel basically said, he's like, yeah, I wouldn't have done this deal without Vince.
Right, which is
like he pretty much said that. Like he is empowering Vince. Yeah. Like, And yes, maybe some more sexual allegations come out, some sexual misconduct that Vince did. I wouldn't be shocked, but Endeavor's already put the precedent out there. They don't give a shit. They don't care.
They like the deal initially, but again, it is I don't want to get so deep in the weeds on it, but I'm just telling you that I don't think from Vince's standpoint that he can tolerate someone over him. This is not, you guys are looking at this like this is a working relationship where they're working hand in hand. I believe Endeavor, especially because of Vince's misconduct, no matter the money, it's just that how Vince operates. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to be long haul, but I think that for the average wrestling fan that's watching and listening to our podcast, they're concerned about the in-ring product. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the in-ring product because I don't want Raw and SmackDown to go backwards where it was a year ago. I'm concerned about that too.
Yeah, no, it's going to. Like, I'm not concerned about it because I know what's going to happen. Like, It's not a concern when I already know what's going to happen. Like Bayley, so now you get all this stuff with Bayley. Like, who knows what's going to happen with her? She's clearly pissed off to the point where she was supposed to be on Monday Night Raw. Vince decided to write her out of the script. They then bury the two stars you're supposed to be working with, and they end up losing their number one contender tag team match.
They don't mention Bayley on commentary.
So who knows what's happening with Bayley? There are some cryptic tweets coming out of her account. Like, she's one of your biggest women stars, man. Like, and you're just going to run her out the way you ran out Sasha Banks?
Right. And I will say, if you're Triple H, though, you're definitely getting the revisionist history pump. Because we've talked a lot the last few months where, like, yeah, things were great when Hunter first took over. But recently, it hasn't been great. We've sort of given that sort of grace period to Triple H. But now when it comes to revisionist history, a year from now, and Vince has run the company even more to the ground, like, man, I miss Triple H. Like, he was so good. Like, that's going to definitely help his ego.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, okay, yeah, Triple H, I think that they could have done some better things in the run up to WrestleMania. Sure. Like, we've had our criticisms. It's still light years. Like, those criticisms, it's still light years of whatever the hell Vince is going to do. Like, yeah, there were missteps, but he still had other really good things on the show.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that in his position, I know that's not the topic, but I think we should just mention that for the time that Triple H was in place, I think that he did at worst, a B-plus effort, because, again, there were so many things that he had to try to untangle, try to push the Intercontinental Championship, try to push the U.S. Championship, the Tag Team Championships. He's involved in the great storyline in wrestling with the Bloodline. He could not fix the whole World Heavyweight Championship situation. Either he couldn't fix it or thought, man, this is working so well, we'll just continue to have Roman be the champion. Either way, he's presided over all of that. And to watch Triple H on Monday Night Raw, by the way, say nothing and just say everything's going to be fine. He's going to be out there on Friday as well on SmackDown, maybe to say nothing. I was waiting for the big surprise. The big surprise is he came out and still can cut a 15-minute promo. Congratulations. I already knew that.
He came out and did the Wolf of Wall Street. We're not going anywhere. Yeah, because that really worked out great for him.
Are you saying we're not going to Triple H pipe bomb tomorrow night? Is he not going to go off on Vince on TV?
God, that would be fantastic if he did.
I wish he would. It would be a little awkward, but it would be awesome on TV.
It would be fantastic if he just quit live on TV.
All right, let's book it. Okay, so he comes out. I'm like, he's that gorilla in a full suit, but before he goes to the camera, he takes off that whole shirt and tie and jacket. And he puts on a leather coat and a DX shirt, right? He comes out there, and he comes up there, they took my company away from me. All of a sudden, right? The fans are behind him like, yeah, we really love. Yeah, so the guy with the little mustache took my company away. When we were on NXT, takeovers were the best, was better than the pay-per-views. And now I don't have my company anymore. I mean, I'd love to see that. Now you got a big disconnect.
I mean, you can book an angle that way. Like him and his NXT guys versus Vince and the WWE guys. Like, you know. Theory and then Gargano and Triple H. I like, I can get behind that storyline.
You need something after this Bloodline. Got to have something.
Right. But of course, you know that results in Theory going over as world champion, right? Because like Vince will ultimately win that feud.
Yep.
Boy, we're going right back to 6,000 at the Garden. That was the Vince era. That's part of that. Now, you talk about something that was wrong with Vince. You can talk about Raw and SmackDown and the booking and all that. When you go back to your home base at Madison Square Garden, especially during the holidays, you draw 6,000 or 7,000 people. That's all on booking. When New York says no, that's bad.
Like again, I feel like the booking for WrestleMania was pretty hot. Being at the house show in Milwaukee in the run up to WrestleMania, I was surprised by the number of people there. I texted you guys that right away when I showed up. I'm like, I mean, they shut down the upper right, but the lower bowl was pretty full. Like it was one of the more well attended house shows that I've seen on a Saturday night in Milwaukee. And again, I feel like, you know, being at Raw before that when he was in Milwaukee, I feel like people were getting behind the product. I don't know how many people will now. I'm fearful of Cody Rhodes. You had built him up. I don't know if he's going to continue to be built up. Do you see him going over Brock Lesnar in a Vince-led WWE? Like, Brock gave – my only hope is this when it comes to that storyline. And I know we're going to touch on Cody in a little bit, but my only hope is that Brock was gave an interview where he was saying, I don't know how much I have left, you know, like, don't know how much I love doing this. I mean, but every time I get out there, like, I just feel that adrenaline pumping because I really love, you know, having that live crowd behind me. And I wonder if Brock's an old school wrestling guy enough. I know he didn't grow up in it, but that he would go, you know, much like The Undertaker put him over at WrestleMania all those years ago, if he would put Cody Rhodes over on his way out the door. But if Vince says, hey, I'm putting you over, pal, I mean, Brock's not going to say no. Like, Brock's going to go whatever direction Vince takes him in.
That's his guy. Remember the night that Vince was sort of kicked out and we left that SmackDown? Brock walked out also. Like, Brock is going to have his back regardless. He's going to think whatever Vince says is the gospel, is the greatest thing. So he's 1,000% Team Vince.
Yeah, to push Roman to the side and say, you're not going to be part of Backlash or some of these other shows. And are on top of the card, it'll be Brock and Cody. People can understand that part of the storyline, too, because Brock turns on Cody. And so, okay, so if you go through Brock, you can get right back in the main event, or at least around it, to take on Roman. I totally understand that story. Absolutely. I'll give you another hot take here. Here's another one. How about this, guys? Because Brock is back, it dawned on me after watching Monday Night Raw, my God, Brock Lesnar is the greatest creation for Vince McMahon in his career. Not Hogan, not the Ultimate Warrior, not Randy Savage, not Shawn Michaels or Brett. It's Brock. Think about this. Brock's been in the company since what? 2000? Look that up, bro. Is it 2002, 2003, somewhere in there? He beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, which was just like, shouldn't have happened, bizarre. But he's pushed Brock so much and had him be the champion and come in whenever he wants to. It's his greatest creation. It is. And he's still around. So not even The Undertaker.
I was about to say, you missed out on The Undertaker. So right. You're giving more credit to Mark Calloway for The Undertaker than Vince?
Yep.
That's fair.
I thought it was The Undertaker for a long time until Brock is still hanging around. Like, I mean, Brock says he's going to be finishing up soon. What does that mean? Finishing up this year?
Right.
Or finishing up for, you know, for his career?
He'll keep showing up as long as Vince keeps giving him bigger checks. Like, and if Vince believes what you were just saying, Jay Hood, like, if Vince believes that this is one of the greatest creations he's had, like, oh no, what do I do without him? All right, I'll just keep cutting checks. And if you keep giving Brock Lesnar a raise without Brock having to negotiate, I got a feeling Brock's going to show up once a month on Raw, 4 pay-per-views a year.
March of 02, by the way, is when he debuted. But, like, it's going to go down that same path, like I said again, where, like, it feels like we're inevitably going to get Brock versus Roman again. So get ready, Nashville. That's your SummerSlam main event once again, because those are the two guys. Like, look at them. That's who I want main eventing shows. Like, it's just the same old stuff with Vince. He has no new ideas. Like, you can say you're the greatest booker of all time, but at one point you have to step back, and I know with an ego like that, he won't, and say, maybe I don't got it anymore.
Yeah,
maybe
by the way,
this.
Kiss your dream of Sammy ever going over as champ. Goodbye.
Yeah,
that's completely gone. Dead. That's dead.
I mean, it's either
Sammy's DOA.
Yeah, either it's DOA or Sammy has to wait a long time, like Daniel Bryan had to. Like, if someone's super over, Vince is not going to go with them. Not immediately. That's not how it works. Not with him.
And that's the thing. Like, if he's super over, which we already saw at Elimination Chamber, like Mania next year, like, it's not going to be the same. Especially when Sammy's barely on TV. Like, he's going to be wrestling, you know, the Maximum Male Model. He's like, oh, yeah, we have tag titles. Like, let's throw that on Backlash. Like,
yeah. No,
completely
Sammy's,
down the drain.
Sammy's going to go back to a comedy character and all the work that he did over the past year, most of which was under Hunter when that character and that part of the Bloodline storyline got real interesting.
Most of it was also organic.
Yes.
Like, I don't even know if Hunter deserves all the credit for that.
No. Sammy deserves a lot of it. Right. Because again, like, Sammy's so damn good, he comes up with the word, I'm feeling oosy.
Right.
You know, or when he called Logan Paul the biggest number two and Roman can't contain himself. Like, that's all Sammy and everybody, like, just buying into Sammy. So, bye bye.
So, yeah. So in 2 years, will this be worth it to pay, what, $80 for pay per view, whatever it costs for UFC? Because that's what's going to cost. It won't be just the old premium Peacock anymore.
That's the thing. Like, if literally, like, if we know this show, like, I could see myself wanting to pay for Rumble because that is fun every year. But, like, from a wrestling standpoint, no, I don't want to pay for two nights of Mania because it'd be $80 twice. So they're never going back to one night. Like, oh, I can sell a stadium two nights in a row? Like, let's go.
I guess my only hope is there has to be some sort of financial advantage of doing it the way they've done it. Otherwise, Vince would not have pulled the trigger on it when he did. Whenever it happened back in what, 2013, 14, yeah, whatever year it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Vince isn't a dummy, right? Like, Vince knows how to make money.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yes, when it comes to booking wrestling storylines, yes, he's a big old dumbass. But, like, if he was leaving money on the table, he wouldn't have gone to the WWE network format to begin with, right? So my guess is there's got to be a reason they decided to do it this way. And you can actually make, like, this is the smarter way to make money, and therefore they'll stick with it. That's my only hope, but it's just a shot in the dark and realistically a Hail Mary, because I like it this way because I can stay connected to it.
Right.
And again, if you alienate your wrestling fans, good luck selling those pay-per-views. That's all I'll have to say. Good luck selling those pay-per-views.
So just one last thing on this topic, and we can move on. I just want to ask you guys, do you think that the average fan, and the average fan is either with their significant other or with family of four, family of five, do you believe that they care about who's in creative? Can they even tell? Like, after 3 hours of sitting at a Raw, I don't mean diehards like us. I'm talking about the average fan that's going to James L. Knight Center in Miami or going to Fiserv Forum, going to Allstate Arena in Chicago or all the other places around the country. Do you think that they are affected by who's in the back?
If you take an 8 or 9 year old to a 3 hour Raw and the first hour is all talking, you're telling me that kid's entertained?
Depends.
He's not. He's not. That kid's going to lose interest. You have to have something in front of him, like, to grab the kid's attention. Adults,
I would say,
talking,
that's the only thing. Yes, like a
adults talking for an hour. That's not going to that's not going to grab the kid's attention.
Well, not even the talking part. What about the wrestler walks out to the ring, stands there for 20 minutes, and then you don't get action until 30 minutes later?
Listen, I'm not saying that you guys are wrong, but if that's the case, then AEW should be over a million every week. It should be full every Wednesday. It should be full if it's about action.
It's a combination of both. What I'm saying is, it's a combination of both, right? Like, that's what we've always talked about. The pay per views, the men and women in WWE, AEW, are super talented. You let them go in the ring, they're going to deliver. It's about being able to grab you and have that connection, which is why Sammy got over, which is why so many people were rooting for Cody Rhodes on WrestleMania Sunday, because they were able to grab onto the storyline. You have to combine the two. If you're too heavy one way, the way AEW is, or if you're too heavy the other way, the way the first hour of Monday Night Raw is, you're not going to grab people's attention. You got to find a way to combine both of them, and that's how AEW gets over a million. That's how Monday Night Raw gets back over consistently 2 million people when Monday Night Football's not out.
To be clear, I don't disagree with you guys. I'm just saying that because you've been fed dog crap for over a decade with that same formula, by the way, of more talking, less wrestling. I'm just wondering if the average fan is going to get tired of that. Not us that's in the weeds.
Right.
I'm just saying that that family of four that loves to see Bianca Belair, no matter how bad the show is, got to be able to see Roman Reigns, got to be able to see individual talent. I'm just wondering how that works today. To me, it's not entertaining to me, but I'm just wondering, because you see the attendance figures, see the numbers for their pay-per-views, and they're not slowing it down anytime soon.
Those attendance figures will go down. You just mentioned about being at Madison Square Garden and drawing 7,000 people. Like, you start putting shitty creative out, and those in-house numbers are going to fall. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
But there is something, because, like, I originally thought the other way, and then listening to you, Gabe, sort of convinced me that, like, no, like, yes, they will notice. The one thing, though, from, like, a child standpoint, like, you're going to get those random fart jokes that result in a chant. Like, they're going to go home remembering that. They're going to go home remembering seeing Bianca dance. So you might only have three moments in a three-hour show, but there's something to that where it's like, oh, I want to go buy a T-shirt of Bianca because she was really cool. Or I want to go buy a Cody shirt because he made a joke about farts with Roman. Like, there is something to that from a, you know, childish humor, which Vince loves. So there is that part.
I'm sure there'll still be plenty of this going forward. I, for one, am not looking forward to SmackDown tomorrow night, especially because a two-hour show with an hour of talking is, that's not going to be great. Anyway, we move on to some of the other big stories going on in the world of professional wrestling. We like to call it the three count. Brian, what do we have at number one?
We'll head on over to the world of AEW Dynamite last night with a couple of big stories. Which one is the bigger deal? Was it the AEW debut of Jay White, who opened the show, attacking Ricky Starks? Or was it Tony Khan's big announcement this time, which is that AEW All In will take place Sunday, August 27th in London at the 90,000-seat Wembley Stadium?
Okay, so is All In replacing All Out? Are they trying to get away from All Out because of Brawl Out? Like, they want to get away from that branding?
So Anthony Bowens tweeted, responding to a fan, because someone asked that exact question, Anthony Bowens, friend of the show, and he responded saying, no, All Out is still happening the following week in Chicago. So I think they might want us to pay for two pay-per-views on back-to-back weekends.
That's not great. That's poor booking, trying to book. I mean, for a company that does one a quarter to then going back-to-back weekends, that seems like... This is a big swing from Tony Khan, and we can talk about All Out once they make that official later. But this is like a huge swing to do your first stadium show at Wembley in London. Like, you are banking that you're going to draw a huge ass number, because even if you draw something spectacular for AEW, like 45,000, that's half the stadium, and it's going to look half empty, and it's going to look bad. So he must be very, very confident that they're going to be able to sell a large number of those tickets to be at Wembley Stadium for a big show. And look, that instantly becomes their biggest show. Like, everything they're building towards has to go to Wembley versus whatever the hell they're going to end up doing in Chicago for All Out, assuming they still do Chicago, assuming they still do All Out.
Yeah, God bless Tony Khan for taking a big swing. God bless him, man. He's like, you know what? I see what the WWE's doing. I see what New Japan's doing. We have to find out who's with us in the UK. Apparently, there's been such a big, big issue with people in the UK saying, when is AEW coming over here? Okay, so we're here. So you're going to come fly in. You're going to drive in. I think it's great. I clearly, you know, taking Jay White away from the WWE, because everything we read during WrestleMania weekend, Jay White's coming. And then, you know, with just a stroke of the pen, Tony Khan says, hold my beer. How about this? How about we sign Jay White? And so,
and also he didn't reveal it beforehand, which usually he gets sort of trigger happy. Like, that was a legit surprise last night.
So Jay White slipped past Vince McMahon because Vince doesn't know who Jay White is.
Correct.
If Triple H was in charge, I believe it's totally in charge. Jay White would be a WWE superstar. But again, Vince doesn't know who that is. And immediately, since he's available and free, he goes to AEW. That is a big deal, because I didn't expect that to happen. That all of the insiders were thrown off by that to open up the show on Dynamite. But clearly, being in London is a bigger deal, because this is Tony Khan putting his balls on the table, saying, here we go. Now, I expect it to be successful. And again, will it be 90,000? No. It won't be that, but I think it's going to be a significant amount of people that will sample the AEW product, just because it's in Wembley Stadium and Tony does have some swag in the UK because of his soccer team. So I'm happy for them. I think that's awesome.
If it's not going to be 90, what do you think the goal should be for attendance? 70?
I think it should be 70, because you got the big scoreboard, you got the big, you know, the ramp and everything else that goes along.
Yeah, but you
some seats
pretty much. Those seats pretty much get replaced with anything you do on the, I guess, in this instance, field, which would be the floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my guess is they could probably still fit close to 85,000 people in that stadium for a wrestling event.
Sure, sure.
Doesn't that have to be the goal? If you're taking it out? This big of a swing, like, there has to be a reason. The last time a show was held, there was SummerSlam of 92. We are in 2023. So if Vince even doesn't want to run there, and we know what his ego is, Tony has to see something in ratings or some, you know, sort of, you know, analytics that makes him believe this is possible.
Yeah.
Your goal can't be 70%.
Man, it seems like a huge leap, because what's the biggest thing they've done is United Center, right? When CM Punk came back.
Yes.
They sold out the United Center, which is what, 17,000, 18,000?
22,000.
Okay, so they did 20.
Arthur Ashe was a lot.
Okay, they've done Arthur Ashe too, which is around that same number, right? So now they have to triple that?
Yeah, they'll be
quadruple
fine.
That?
Quadruple it, yeah.
Yeah, it'll draw. Out there in the UK, absolutely, it will draw.
Okay.
It will draw.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I have no idea. I honestly have no idea what this, like, they could sell it out. They could do 40,000. And I don't think I'd be shocked right now from anything in between, because they haven't done anything close to this scale. It just seems like a large leap to me for a company that's less than 5 years old.
It's all good. Punk will be back by then.
That's the thing. You need to give people a reason to want to go there. The first ever show out of North America, that was my first thought. You have FTR winning last night. They're not going anywhere. Like, this has to be main evented by Kenny and Punk.
Yeah, I think
you're going to be in Chicago a week later. You're just going to piss everybody off.
You do the trio,
which basically been your hometown. Like, you've run all of your big events in Chicago, and then you're going to put Punk Kenny on it. Look, you probably have to, but you also risk then alienating, like, the one place you continuously come back and continuously support.
Chicago get Elite versus Punk and FTR. There you go. There's your compromise.
Here's what I can guarantee you. If it is true that Chicago's after the UK show, Chicago will sell out. I'll give you that guarantee. I can give you that. The UK show, listen, here's how I look at AEW like this. I look at it practically. Because you are a young company, a new company, whatever you get is gravy. Whatever you get is gravy. It is, because you're the number two company in North America. Yeah. And so when people look at the ratings and they look at the attendance, they only drew 5,000 people here. Oh, they only got 800. Man, it's a Wednesday night. You'll take anything in today's TV. You'll take 800,000. And after the replays, it ends up to be like 900 or 950,000. You'll take it. And same thing here in the UK. Will we see some empty seats? Maybe, maybe not. But I know one thing. This will be the biggest show that they've ever done. The biggest grossing show
yes.
they've ever done. Yeah. And by the way, take your hat off. Because outside of New Japan and WWE, who else can fill a stadium besides AEW? So,
well, no, that's what I mean. Again, like, this, It's a big swing because to me, either it really legitimizes you. Like if you can put on a stadium show and you're not the WWE, like a stadium show outside the United States, obviously New Japan does what they do in their country. But like, if you can put on a stadium show, like that really like, holy bleep, man. Like you've got everyone's attention. And that's like, again, it's a big swing, but you also now risk falling flat on your face where right. if you only sell 45,000 tickets, like everybody's going to be clowning you for the next 6 months.
Right. Because that's the thing. It's going to be an investment to get everyone over there to, you know, do the set and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. 40,000 doesn't look great in that situation.
I don't think it's going to fail. I don't. And, okay. and I don't think it's going to fail. I can't guarantee you 90,000, but it won't fail. I know what it look, by the way, I know what those shows look like, you know, on when World Class was dead on its ass and they stepped trying to keep putting like Kerry Von Erich on top against Ric Flair or Harley Race. You know, there was some empty seats at Cowboy Stadium. You could see them, right? AWA, when it was bad, it had Wrestle Rock trying to be hip, Vern trying to be hip in 86, and a three quarters empty Metrodome. And of course, AWA didn't have the wherewithal to hide the camera, like hide the empty seats.
put everybody on the hard cam.
Yeah, the hard cam was the empty seats. Like, burn. If you're gonna do this, have fans at least. So that's on YouTube, kids, to watch that from '86. Like, he wanted to do a stadium show. Like, we're gonna be like WrestleMania. It wasn't like WrestleMania. This is in Minneapolis, and there's like nobody there. So I think that because of AEW's momentum, guys, I think it will do well. I do.
Well, why do you think Vince hasn't run anywhere over there? Like Clash of the Castle this past year was the first time they even ran a pay-per-view over there. Why have they not touched that place?
It's interesting when you hear Bruce Pritchard say talk about this in the past. They say, well, okay, why haven't you run anything since 92 before Clash of the Castle? They talk about the time zone thing. That's what they would say. Okay. It's like, oh, well, the time zone, you can't run shows in the middle of the day. I think it was fine. Clash of the Castle, it was fine in the middle of the day. It was night in the UK, but they would say the time zone thing and the logistics of that. But that's old school thinking, but under Triple H and Big Con, by the way, Clash of the Castle happened, and look how successful that was. So
okay.
I think that's the reason. That was the long-term reason why that Vince would not run in that country.
That makes sense then. Okay. But I do think, you know, we talk about the Vince stuff and like they're on the downward trend. Like there needs to be sort of that next step for AEW. 77 was the number. Like this, you find a way to get there.
I mean, you just became very digitized there, pal. So I'm going to say I agree. And let's move on to number two.
I think that's a great point. Your best point of the day.
Good. I'm glad I can make that. Paul Heyman without Ariel Helwani talking about Cody Rhodes losing at WrestleMania and Roman taking away that moment. He said, quote, they blame Roman Reigns for it and they appreciate how close Cody came. And they know now, they know the next time Cody Rhodes steps in the ring with Roman Reigns, this will be the one. That's the business. That's the business at its very best. That's promotion at its very best. That's storytelling at its very best. So guys, is Cody Rhodes a bigger star after his WrestleMania loss?
I don't know if he's a bigger star, but he's certainly a more sympathetic figure. Like I think clearly, and he's one of the best ever to do this, right? But clearly the wise man is just selling his ass off, right? Like he's selling the storyline. He's selling the reason why they won. But that doesn't mean that it's all BS. I think there is something in there of making Cody a more sympathetic figure. Now, again, the fact that Vince is in charge makes me skeptical that Cody's actually going to go over his next opponent, which appears to be Brock Lesnar. So that makes me a little skeptical. But if Cody goes, like going over Brock just instantly legitimizes him the next time he faces Roman, right? Like it just, oh, Brock is like the second biggest star they have. He's been one of the biggest rivals for Roman. He was the last human to hold one of those belts that Roman continues to hold up. By beating him, it just instantly legitimizes it more in the storyline. And again, I think I said this before Mania, and I'm saying it again now. I think the money for Cody is in the chase. So prolonging that chase to me is not a bad thing.
Bully Ray from Busted Open on SiriusXM asked a very good question. He asked on Twitter if Dusty Rhodes was alive to book the storyline between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. How would Dusty book it? And I think the majority of people, and some don't remember Dusty as a booker for Jim Crockett in the NWA, because while he was wrestling, he was booking for Jim Crockett, and they had a lot of success with Dusty as a booker. The answer to the question is Dusty would have had Roman Reigns go over too, because Dusty understood the chase. He chased Ric Flair for years. He understood, like, when Dusty was a champion, it was like, oh, Dusty's a champion. Okay, now what? All right? He finally got the chase. He won the, okay, now what? The fun was to pay a ticket to see Dusty Rhodes kick Ric Flair's ass, again, for the chase for the championship. I agree with Bully Ray. He says that the same thing like Paul's saying. The chase of Cody and him trying to finish the story is compelling. If you listen, as much as I think it would have been cool for him to be the champion, to stretch this out even more so against Brock Lesnar, maybe having a rematch with Roman is cool. But I think that Cody is a bigger star, not just after the loss, but just being in the WWE again, he's a bigger star than he was in AEW. He is, because in AEW, we were covering it. We realized fans were booing him in AEW. They wanted him to turn heel. He would bust his ass. He would he'd set his back on fire. He would do moonsaults off the top of a cage in Atlanta. He did all this stuff to try to get over. And fans in AEW are like, yeah, you're too much of a babyface. You're trying to beat John Cena. So you know what? He left. And actually, he's a bigger star now, even in the loss and even in WWE 2.0, than he was in AEW.
So my issue, though, is like, yes, I agree the chase is where the money's at. We all talked about going into Mania where Cody's supposed to be this sympathetic babyface, and there's really nothing to feel bad about. He was number 30 in the Rumble. He's only been back for a few months. He's getting Mania. Like, really, all it was the torn pack. But I think there is something to, like, us having those moments, us believing and then taking it away and doing it again. Because now moving forward, sure, you're going to feed him to Brock. He's going to beat Brock. But we've heard all the sympathetic stuff already. We've heard how he's doing it for Dusty. We've heard the Roman angle, like, hey, you're just going to run away when things get rough. And there's only so many times you can tease something. We thought Drew was going to win. We thought Sammy was going to win. We thought Cody was going to win. Yes, there is something to, like, all right, I want to see it when it happens. But there's also the opposite effect of, like, you know what? It's not going to happen. Just tell me when it does. Like, you can't just keep teasing it and then ultimately not pay it off, which it feels like the WWE is doing right now.
Yeah, maybe they put too much into this, the first part of the chase, and kind of, you know, threw too many of those one-liners, you know, to kind of go back and forth with him and Roman this time around. But I understand a lot of people wanted him to go over. It just didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel, if you want to finish the story, and I know Triple H, well, it's WWE, the story never actually ends. You keep telling it, blah, 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 blah. But, like, it just didn't.
I heard him say that, yes.
Yeah.
And also, who took my Snickers?
Then he decided to go back up there and throw Kevin under the bus on night two. Yeah. Like, oh, good thing there's no Snickers out here. Oh, I guess we don't have Kevin. It's fine.
Where's my Kevin's not a body tag guy. That's what it is.
Where's my fat ass tag champ? Where is he with his Snickers? That's what,
like, if I didn't know that KO was a Triple H guy, like, I think you'd just be making fat jokes at KO's expense. But, like, luckily we do know that KO obviously has Triple H in his corner.
Yes.
But it just felt like the whole finish the story thing, like, the story just wasn't complete yet. Like, you have to go through a little bit more turbulence, just something to be challenged on your way to to Roman Reigns. And Brock Lesnar is that. Like, this is the first time we've seen Cody Rhodes in any sort of peril since he returned, right? Like, he wasn't ever really in peril in the feud with Seth other than tearing his pec. You know, but that happened off camera. It's not like that was something that happened in the middle of a match. He as you mentioned, he entered at number 30. He gave the first loss to Solo Sikoa. Like, he's never actually been in any peril. So now he can be a little bit of a babyface in peril, overcome that, and then go take on Roman.
But the other thing is, Brock's always going to be Brock. But from a storytelling standpoint, like, these last few months of Brock have not been dominant Brock. Like, he beats Omos, and then Omos no-sells the F5. He's out the ring after. He loses to Lashley before that. Like, he hasn't been running through everyone just dominating the way we're used to.
Yeah, because he's been babyface Brock.
Yeah.
That's ultimately the reason why.
Yeah.
You know, as, you know what, bro? It says you were reading what Heyman had to say. It's like, my God, you hear the explanation. It's like, why is he not running WWE?
Yep.
I mean, he'd have to worry about bouncing any checks in WWE. It would just be him and creative. My God, man. No, how come, Gabe, why is it that Paul Heyman's explanations in his interviews are better than anything that Vince would ever say, because Vince speaks in sound bites, or Triple H? He just lays it out perfectly. Like, every time you see him interviewed, it's thoughtful. It's deep. There's layers to it. And it's like, after he's done talking, you go, my God. Yeah, at heart, he's still a booker.
I don't know who the greatest professional wrestling mind of, like, all time is. That I would leave to more of the historian like you, Jay Hood. But I think of my lifetime, Paul Heyman's probably the greatest professional wrestling mind. Like, everything I've always been drawn anytime he gets involved in something. And obviously when he gets involved in the creative of something, like when he's playing his on-screen character, he's going to have a large say in how all of that goes. And it's the reason why everything he has done in his time in WWE, whether it was when CM Punk turned heel, so then he's with CM Punk, or with Brock Lesnar. I mean, the only thing that really failed was when Cesaro was like a babyface and they tried to make Lesnar his manager. And that's really the only thing that's kind of failed. It just never quite connected, probably because, again, when you see Paul Heyman, you think heel. He's a schmarmy heel. That's what he is. Like, when the only reason we knew Roman Reigns was not a badass babyface when he came back and was actually a heel is because the camera just slowly panned out when he was sitting there to reveal Paul Heyman next to him. Like, oh, he's a bad guy now, because if you're associated with Paul, you have to be a bad guy. Like, Paul is one of the greatest professional wrestling minds, I think, of all time. Certainly, like, since of my lifetime. Yeah. I think, because every time I see him involved with something, I just naturally become drawn to it as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, we talk about Roman and or Cody open with their interviews and say, Paul's the same way. It's almost like Paul's not a WWE contracted performer when he just speaks openly storylines and just giving his thoughts, you know. But it still empowers the company in a certain way, where he's just a real find and just a real great guy to have on your roster in your locker room. Clearly he's not being heard by Vince, because I think that remember when Vince first used that term, I can't be in the weeds, pal, can't be in the weeds. Well, that's when he hired Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. You see how short-lived that was. Mm-hmm. When Paul Heyman was running SmackDown, when SmackDown and Raw were going after each other, this is early 2000s, right, bro?
Yeah, SmackDown 6.
Man, Paul Heyman's, his SmackDown was so much better than Stephanie's Raw. Yep. So I mean, much
James
better.
Says it in the comments. SmackDown 6 on the best wrestling, you know, we've seen in WWE ever on television.
Oh,
like he was buried. He was basically buried by throwing him to SmackDown. Like, fine, you can be in charge of something. We'll give you SmackDown, and then he like turns it into the better show of that era.
Oh, he killed it. Yeah. He killed it, and then because of his success, that's too much, pal. Yeah, he is definitely in that Mount Rushmore of great minds. I just, you know. Again, with no bounce checks, no bingo halls, it was just him being able to, he'd be great. But again, it's about power with Vince, right? Nice. It's about power. He won't give Paul Heyman that kind of power. He'll let him preside over the bloodline and be able to give some thoughts there and pitch in some thoughts there. But it's too bad, because I think under Paul Heyman, some of the superstars that we'd love to see in the WWE get more time or championship level matches, I'm sure Paul probably has in his mind 10 guys, 10 or 10 women that could really get over in the WWE that's been undervalued.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it those few brief months that he was in charge of Raw, like some of those guys getting those pushes. It makes you wonder, and obviously money, I'm sure, is a big factor in it. Like, why stick around if you're Paul? Like, why not go help Tony? Like, if Tony's going to be willing to listen to Paul, like, I trust Paul Heyman to sell out Wembley.
I think he still owes a lot of ECW wrestlers money, so he just keeps it. Tommy Dreamer still
he still owes Tommy Dreamer money? Like, what are we doing here?
He's still
Rhino? Like, he owes Rhino money? Like, who does
Rhino's still doing the indies just so he can make up for the money that was lost in ECW?
Fair.
Number three, Brian.
All right, WrestleMania obviously was the big part of the weekend, but there's plenty of other wrestling. So, guys, what were some of your highlights of WrestleMania weekend with all around the wrestling world?
All right, so we are each assigned different things, right? So I had NXT Stand and Deliver. Jay Hood, you had the ROH show. And Brian, you had everything else.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I saw a lot of the Ukrainian Center in Los Angeles. They hosted multiple shows. So shout out to them.
Okay. So NXT Stand and Deliver. The women's... they kicked off with the women's... championship match, which was a ladder match.
Yeah.
It was a little rough. All right. Let's just be honest. All right. It was rough. All right. There were some great moments, but there are also some moments where it's like, okay, this is why you're in NXT. It might have been better off had they limited the participants to maybe three or four. I don't know if it needed to be as deep as it was. Dexter Lumis showing up out of nowhere. I know from a very basic research that he at one point was Indy Hartwell's on-screen husband because they had like a marriage in NXT 2.0.
They did?
Yes.
When Gargano was there. Yes.
Yes. Because they had like a faction, The Way. Was that the name of the faction?
Yes. Yep. Uh-huh.
Because they did a celebration after Gargano won his match too, with the four of them. Uh-huh. But I don't know if like that was ever mentioned. Like, I don't know the last time it was mentioned, but he suddenly shows up and like creepily gives a thumbs up, like as he's laying between her legs, which again, very strange way to do all of this, but everything they do with Dexter Lumis is very, very strange.
He was fired after that wedding. Like, he has since been released during this weekend. And when that on-screen marriage happened, he was released from the company.
So, you know, like a huge throwback to all those diehard NXT fans. So that moment got over as he helped her up the ladder to have her become the new NXT Women's Champion. So, you know, again, the fans seem to enjoy that moment. The best match on the card, not shockingly, was going to involve the guy who's actually on, you know, the main roster, whose nickname happens to deal with wrestling. So Johnny Wrestling and his match was really good. It was a unsanctioned match that he had that was pretty good. The North American five-way probably stole the show. Like, you saw some guys that have now no chance to succeed under Vince because they're a bunch of undersized dudes that, you know, we'll probably see in AEW one day.
Right. Who was it? Who's in the match?
So you had Dragon Lee. You had Wes Lee, who is the Wes Lee. He is the current North American champion. No, one's black, one is Asian.
Okay. Is that two names or one Wes Lee?
It's two names. Yeah. Wes Lee.
Ah.
Yeah.
He was part of Radicals. Remember? Yeah. And then his partner got fired. They were tag champs. You've seen that. They were in Impact
for a while. You guys made me watch NXT, and I haven't watched like NXT since it was black and gold. All right. Like, you guys made me do this, so I'm struggling to explain by very rudimentary of what happened storyline wise in a lot of these things. All right. Yeah. It's your fault.
We just want you to buy in. Listen, it's a big WrestleMania weekend. There's a lot to cover here. Somebody had to watch NXT, not me.
Afternoon Saturday show. Get excited.
Who else was in that match?
Axiom, a luchador named Axiom, who is, again, flew around, did some cool moves. I don't know his story, but again, he's gotten zero chance to succeed in WWE. Now that
his story is Jay Hood, when he walks out, he gets that slow-mo entrance like Johnny used to get.
Oh, like Johnny Morrison?
Uh-huh. Got it.
Throwing the hand in the air?
Good. Uh-huh. Original. Okay.
Those are the ones that kind of stood out in that match, but it was good. It was a really good match. Wes Lee, again, two names, not one. Wes Lee ended up retaining, which the end of the match was meh. I mean, he has this, I'm trying to remember the name of his finisher, but it's like a kick, and there were two guys, and wasn't clear that he had connected, but he ended up going over. I'm not sure if Bron Breakker's ready for the main roster.
Let's talk about that.
Again, I'm not watching NXT every week, so I'm not seeing him cut promos. But like the WWE style of, again, it's helpful for, you know, people like me who just happen to be diving in for this, and they play the video before the match. I wasn't really impressed with his portion of the hype video. Like, I didn't buy into him being a convincing talker. Like, if you, again, he has the look. The in-ring match was pretty good. He ended up losing, so presumably he's going to be showing up maybe on SmackDown on Friday night. Maybe he shows up soon. But if you give him a manager and give him a mouthpiece, that's probably what you're going to need to do in order to have him have success on the main roster.
Well, I guess obviously your NXT watching didn't extend to Tuesday. I guess you were burnt out after Stand and Deliver. They had him turn heel Tuesday, which sort of makes you think that he's not coming up anytime soon. They're still prolonging that storyline.
Shout out to Gerald. The cardiac kick, by the way, going back to Wesley's finishing mood, is the cardiac kick.
See, someone's watching. He's part of that 600,000 every week.
You can have a bomb drop, and NXT will still draw 600,000. It's amazing. So it was Ilya Dragunov in that match?
Yeah.
And JD McDonagh?
Oh, yeah.
Dragunov is awesome. That guy can go. And I know who that is. I used to watch NXT UK all the time. And McDonagh changed his name. What was his name? I forgot his previous name, but those guys can go. I know that because those are imports.
That match was fantastic. It was probably it was my second favorite match that I watched behind the unsanctioned match.
And then, but you don't think that, you know what? Here's the thing. I will, because I don't watch. If you don't think that Bron Breakker is ready, then that definitely means that Vince is bringing him up at some point soon.
That's fair.
Seriously, Jordan Devlin, he was awesome NXT UK. I used to watch him, but if that's how you feel, and more than likely, I've heard him speak. He's like his dad, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He's like Rick.
They're 33% and 33%, and that gives me a 50% chance to win if he cuts that promo. I'm all the way out. I really did like Carmelo Hayes, though. If Carmelo Hayes ended up on the main roster before Bron Breakker, wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I've told you guys for a while, like, Carmelo is ready. Carmelo is that guy. Bron probably doesn't want to be associated with his dad right now. A rough weekend for Rick and some of his thoughts that are a little, not great. But, there's obviously something there, but he still has that Vince look. So, yeah, he'll be up in no time, and he'll probably be the one to knock off Gunther.
Bro, I did not get an official attendance on the Galen Center in Los Angeles for a Ring of Honor, a Supercard of Honor. I did watch. I was interested in something that's real, actually, with Claudio Castagnoli and Eddie Kingston. They don't like each other. That's legit. And it was a really solid match. Very, very good. Claudio
says 44-72, by the way.
That's not bad. Middle of the day.
Yeah.
I think it was the middle of the day in Los Angeles. So that's fine.
Yeah.
Claudio and Kingston was the main event for the ROH Championship. It was physical. It's the best that I've seen Eddie Kingston under AEW. I would say since he's been in AEW, he was that good. I thought it was fantastic. After the match, Eddie Kingston grabs the mic, and the producer on the floor is like, "Hey, we got 1 minute," and he starts swearing like out of nowhere, just like George Carlin, like swearing, MFS, blah blah blah, the worst.
Yes, it was not PG in the slightest.
I mean, my God, man.
Eddie's gonna Eddie, man. Like, Eddie's just gonna do what Eddie does.
I mean, after that 30-second promo, I was like, I guess that's why he's never gonna be a world champ.
They can't trust him with an open microphone. Right, I get it now.
He shoots on MJF, says MJF gets 30 minutes on TV. I just want 5. Okay, all right. And he, of course, you know what he did after the match? He put over every Japanese wrestler and just said, "All these guys are great, and I suck." That's what he does all the time. Samoa Joe against Mark Briscoe for the TV Championship. Mark Briscoe, at some point, I think he's going to be ROH champion. I don't know when, but I think that he will be. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, Mark was going to relinquish half of those tag team championships, and that's what happened. He didn't want to be a tag team partner with anyone else. So I thought that his matchup with Samoa Joe was great. The fans stood up and applauded Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe's family was there. It was tearful. It was emotional for a lot of people because everyone knows what Mark has gone through.
And also the way they played the emotional card, like him going to tag in Jay during that match, like tugging on the heartstrings. Come on, guys.
Tough. Shibata, odd music, but yet still over. He was able to beat Wheeler Yuta for the Pure Championship. Yuta is quite the wrestler, and I know he's been through a lot with injuries and everything else, but that was a solid matchup.
Called him a shithead.
I heard that.
Why did he do that last night?
I don't think even Yuta was surprised at that yesterday.
Why he's a shithead, but I still love him. Like, okay,
that's weird. Why are you calling him that? The Athena that we saw against Jade Cargill at AEW is not the Athena we see in ROH. Would you agree with that, Brooks? I mean, she is a very aggressive and a heel, and she's walking in her heeldom, if that's a word. She took on Yuka Sasaki, and she was fantastic in that matchup. That's one of my favorite matches to watch on the card, as a matter of fact. And, of course, the Reach for the Sky ladder match, the Kingdom, Aussie Open, Top Flight. There was an injury in that Top Flight. Was that card?
Yes, ooh, that was Dante. Boy. His foot's not supposed to go that way. And that happened. My God.
Taking out Rush and Dralistico and the Lucha Brothers. Hey, this is for both Martin brothers, both of them, Darius and Dante. Stop doing shit that you don't know how to do. Yeah, if say, for instance, you leave that spot out where you have all these tables and you're going through the tables and you break your leg. Okay, if you don't have that spot, is the match still good? Yes. You don't have to do that to impress me. Why? I mean, why? You are – it's kind of like athletes that we cover every day. Boy, that guy's always injured. Boy, that she's always injured. Well, the Martins are always injured. So why put yourself in that kind of risk? I mean, he says you're never going to get over if you're always on the IL. That's what happened with Dante Martin. So – I thought it was a very, very good card. You watched it too, Broitz, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great card. Gabe watched it also. That is true. You figured out the first match of the night.
Yeah, that was my main event. That was my favorite match of the week.
Okay.
All right, so we'll get to it there. All right, I'm like, you gave me the entire thing, and you don't even mention the best professional wrestler in the world.
Why are you? Wait a minute! You can't just switch over.
I did. I did. I converted. I converted. Vikingo converted me. I don't know what you want from me. My eyes have been opened to the Church of Vikingo.
I still think that your thought about Rey Fénix is still solid.
Oh, hey, look! Somebody's got to be number two, and Rey's number two. All right, like Rey Fénix is number two.
That's something.
So speaking of Vikingo, like if you watch really, I think, any indie show from the weekend, he was working it. That guy got his works in. He got some matches. There were nights where it's like, pretty sure this is match number three of the night. He definitely made the most of his weekend. He went home happy financially this weekend in LA. So I will say that. Some of the shows I saw, though, the Impact New Japan, the multiverse show, from a production standpoint, that was the worst show I watched all weekend. Like lighting, audio issues, throwing to packages that just don't play. Like, these were the two legit companies, and it just didn't work technically. So there's that. From a wrestling standpoint, though, Minoru Suzuki, I think I can watch him till he's 100. He faced Kenta on that show. He's really good. Deonna Purrazzo, I think she's someone else that we don't talk about enough. Yes. She won a four-way that night. She's scheduled to take on Mickie James for the Impact Women's title, or the Knockouts, whatever they call it. She's good, and I feel like she deserves a bigger stage.
I would agree. Deonna Purrazzo is a fantastic wrestler. She's got a great promo. She's got a great look. That's just one of these women that's waiting to get to the next level. Impact is a nice little stopping point, but eventually she should be in one of the big companies, that's for sure.
Couple other notes and a couple of sports. Bloodsport 9, the biggest story of the weekend. Mox barely bled on that show. He literally had a little bit of blood, and it was an accident. The title of the show is Bloodsport 9. There were no wrestling ropes. There were no pinfalls, and Mox barely bled on that show.
No ropes, you say?
No ropes. No pinfalls either. Submission or knockout, the only way you win at Bloodsport.
Anybody else on that card of interest, of note?
Johnny Bloodsport. You've heard of him, Johnny Impact, Johnny Rampage, whatever. Johnny Bloodsport was on that show.
He's the best.
And also that night was Mike Bailey versus Bushi. That match was really good.
Okay, I'm going to have to go search. I'm going to search that one out, though. Okay. Yes. Bushi against Speedball Mike Bailey, you said?
Yes. And like the submission or knockout, the only way you win, that match was really good. The other show also on Fight, Joey Janela's Spring Break. I'll say this. I enjoyed that show more than any other show besides the ROH one all weekend. Like, that was a really good, fun show. You had a Matt Cardona run in with his Cody Rhodes jacket, and he cut a promo about how his best friend's going to win the WWE title at WrestleMania and how excited he was for that. You love tag wrestling, Jay Hood. Motor City Machine Guns versus the East West Express, which is Nick Wayne and Jordan Oliver. I don't know who Jordan Oliver is.
Oh, wow.
That was a damn good match for the GCW tag titles.
Nick Wayne. He's 17.
17. His mom was there. Oh, shout out to LA. Yes.
Holy shit. Okay, I got to find that. Thank you very much for telling me. I'll go search that out. Nick Wayne, the prodigy, signed by AEW, but he's been wrestling since he's 15 years old. God, and he's so good.
So good. And so imagine it's him and his partner versus the Motor City Machine Guns. We know how well they can go. Like, they've been wrestling longer than the kid's been alive.
Yeah.
That was a damn good tag match.
Holy cow. All right. Check that out, too. That's good.
So those are some of my, like I said, the Ukrainian Center. A lot of the shows were there, but shout out to the Ukrainian Center in LA.
Are you subscribed to Fight Plus yet? Because don't they have that now?
Yes. So actually, a little secret here. There's a 7-day free trial. All these shows were included in that. Hit that cancel button yesterday. Got my money's worth this weekend.
This guy knows value, doesn't he?
Yeah, but like, you're still going to want to watch that random barn show in Iowa. So you're going to have to subscribe again.
So that's the thing. From a life standpoint, like, I had to cancel it. Like, it is a good value for the amount of shows you get. But from a life standpoint, the Thursday night barn show, like, I don't know if I can do that life-wise. So it was a life decision to hit that cancel button yesterday.
So that's also fair. The secret, Gabe, is he's got me for passwords.
Fair.
That's the other secret, too. Duluth, Georgia, some bar. What do you got a password for me? All right, it's not Duluth, Georgia. He also has me because he knows I've got the codes.
Oh, no comment.
It's so ridiculous. Like, there's gonna be some point. I'm just gonna deny you. Like, you know what? You don't need to watch that. No.
We at some point, yes. If you are the gatekeeper, yes, you need to save him from himself. Look,
I did the hard work for you guys. I watched the full shows. I watched at least 20 to 30 hours of wrestling, and I gave you a couple matches: Mike Bailey versus Bushi, Bloodsport 9, Motor City Machine Guns, East West Express, Joey Janela, Spring Break. So you're welcome. Doing the service of the people.
What do we got? News and notes, Brian.
All right. If you haven't forgotten, tomorrow night from Kingston, Rhode Island, it is AEW. Rampage, Battle of the Belt 6.
Yes.
I feel like they forget they happen, but we will have on that show. The Lucha Bros defend the ROH tag titles against Hobbs and QT. Jade defends the TBS title against Billy Starks. Billy, by the way, 0-6 in AEW. And Orange Cassidy defends the international title against Dralistico.
My God, Orange Cassidy's Rick Steamboat. My God.
He's a modern day steamboat.
God almighty.
I didn't see it coming. He's 100% correct.
My God. He's just like the workhorse every week with this guy. He must rate well. I never get tired of seeing him. It's just like, God almighty, every show he's on.
He's wrestling every one of them too. Like, you bring up a great point. Like, when he became the then All Atlantic champion, now the international champion, did you ever think you would utter the words, "My God, he's Ricky Steamboat," when talking about Orange Cassidy?
I mean, seriously, he's out there every week. I mean, just putting out banger after banger. Like, it's Orange. We laughed at that championship. We said, too many championships. Well, who knew that that championship actually is being defended and out there more than the TNT title?
I had to look up today who the TNT champion was. I forgot it was Hobbs already.
Oh, it's Hobbs.
Yeah.
I think the last time we saw him, he was doing the backstage QTV thing. I literally think that's the last time I saw him sitting back in one of those chairs doing the fake TMZ thing with the championship on his shoulder.
Well, don't worry. At Battle of the Belts, he'll be competing for the ROH tag titles.
Yep. We got no QTV on Dynamite Wednesday.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, got that. Instead, we got the song and dance from MJF. We got that. That guy's talented, man. Yes. I put out GKW_wrestling and said, you know what? Somewhere Vince McMahon's watching this. He's a song and dance man. He's a showman. Goddamn, pal. Bring him in and then from there. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm sure he looked at that and said he didn't care about the wrestling. He saw that guy taking over Long Island, doing like an old school song and dance routine and killed it.
Yeah.
Killed it.
That was a WWE style segment, but he made it happen.
It was so WWE. It really was. But he killed it, man. Give him credit. And by the way, so I look forward to the two hour special of Rampage. Cause if there is a Battle of the Belts, that means it's 2 hours of Rampage.
2 hours
of
Rampage. Rampage is live, and then Battle of the Belts live also. Check your DVRs because those are two separate shows. So if you have those recorded, you need to record Battle of the Belts 6.
Kingston, Rhode Island. That sounds like Jeff Jarrett booked that building. I've never even heard that city before. Kingston, Rhode Island.
Wow. That's where they will take place tomorrow. Elsewhere, Andrade, in an interview with Lucha Libre Online, says his AEW contract expires, quote, very soon. He said he had surgery in November to fix a torn chest. Previously, he said he signed a 3-year deal, which was in June of 2021. So if we're going off of that, that's not quite very soon.
I mean, look, he may have to reevaluate his plans anyway, because if Vince is in charge, like, they're going to be, WWE isn't going to be signing anybody anytime soon.
Right.
They're going to be releasing more than they're signing over the next probably month. Like, if we, by this time next week, if we have a list of releases, that's not going to shock anyone, right? Because that's what happens when a company buys, like, you know, when a company steps in and buys a company like WWE and then combines it with a company like UFC, you end up cutting people with redundancies on the office side. And then you're looking to cut costs and on, you know, elsewhere. So I would not be shocked if we get a list of performers who are released by this time next week.
I fully expect that list to be all the rehired people. Like, everyone that Vince already fired, that Triple H rehired, is like, hey, they still work here? I'm like, damn it, you got to go.
I told you, Bronson Reed, out.
Right.
Oh, Emma. Bronson Reed, Bray. Emma. I'm surprised Braun Strowman got fired for the first time.
Yeah, I agree.
I bet Braun sticks around.
Johnny's gone.
Johnny's gone. Mm-hmm. Probably as well. I mean, Candace probably goes with Johnny.
Uh huh.
That's fine.
Damn.
I mean, what has she done?
She hasn't done anything there. She'd be great elsewhere. I think she can go with anyone.
Yeah, no question. Just not there. It just.
Right.
Yeah, but just staying on topic about Andrade, this is what happens. You have to do one of two things if you're Tony Khan. Either you're bringing this talent in to get them over and put them on your TV to get ratings, or you're just trying to do an arms race and just get, just to make sure it didn't go to Vince, go to me. Well, that's not smart business. I don't care how much money Tony Khan has. A talent like that should be in the forefront. He is entertaining when healthy, obviously. So just the idea that you're just bringing people in, like Jay White. If Jay White's not in toward the middle of the card or to the top of the card in 6 months, then what are you getting him in there for?
Sure.
I mean, he's that good and quickly, by the way, in his career. I mean, he lit up New Japan. He's in AEW now. Don't just let him just be on Dark or Rampage. That guy is got a gift to gab and he can go. Let's not screw around here. So why do you bring in talent? To get him over. Let's get these guys over now.
Yeah, that's fair. And finally, news and notes, sad news in the wrestling world. Bushwhacker Butch passing away this week at the age of 78. He had flew into L.A. from New Zealand for all his wrestling appearances. Member of the Hall of Fame class of 2015.
So before they were the lovable Bushwhackers in the WWE, they were the Sheepherders. And they were a bloodthirsty team from New Zealand. And they were all over the country and around the world as heels. They were from New Zealand. They hated America. They hated any country besides New Zealand. They'd have the flag. And that was a team from Portland to Puerto Rico that would just spill blood everywhere and spill everyone else's blood everywhere because they were that good. It's amazing the metamorphosis, though, right? They had the same outfits. They had, like, the fatigues, the army fatigues, and they had, like, the green singlet. And they would just be tearing up everybody. They went to WWE with the same outfit, but yet they were baby faces licking on everybody. It is an amazing metamorphosis, a complete 180 of who they were for years. Come to WWE, they got dolls, they're with kids, they don't have any teeth, they still got those same gig marks on their forehead, but yet they were lovable. Amazing change from the Sheepherders to the Bushwhackers.
It's amazing to me that a team from New Zealand would be, like, usually when you think the I hate America gimmick, New Zealand's not the first country that comes to mind that's going to work for that nationality.
Yeah. So many great moments with the Sheepherders. So all the best. And by the way, like, they were both alive. Both Sheepherders were alive. They were, I think, is Butch that passed away, correct?
Yes, Butch, yeah.
Yeah, Butch passed away. He was flying in from New Zealand to Los Angeles for a signing. And
yeah, they were making appearances together this week. But I do, like, seeing on the comments, like, I've seen that the Sheepherder sentiment a lot. Like, I don't think I've ever seen them as that. I vividly remember them as a child, like, being that memorable team where, you know, they're not winning matches, but they're out there doing their thing. They're licking children in the front row. Like, I want to look up and sort of made it a point to find some of the Sheepherder matches and see that other side of them.
Oh, it's not for the faint of hearts, that's for sure. Oh man, I'm a child watching the sheep herders. Like, oh my god, they hated America and they were making people bleed just in regular.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
What
did you like Dynamite, by the way, Gabe? What's your letter grade?
I'm gonna go B-. It was fine. Like, I don't think it was like the MJF stuff that was entertaining. I mean, Jay White coming out was a legitimate surprise, but they didn't do much with it to build any sort of angle going forward, other than he's going to be with Juice Robinson. I would have liked to have seen more with that. Like, you bring him out, like, go harder with it, bring it more. Like, it seems like the biggest thing last night was the announcement that they made about going to Wembley, and that's kind of what the show was almost built around.
FTR tag champs. Hopefully that leads to something.
That match was sloppy.
Oh yeah, that match was not good, but hey,
champs. Like, I had such high hopes for that match because of FTR, and then it was like, all right, thank God this is over. I'm glad FTR's champs. I'm glad they're sticking around in AEW because I know they're gonna do some great things going forward. But whatever that just was, that was not great.
Yeah.
So speaking of bad matches, what were some good matches that you guys enjoyed? What was your match of the week?
FTR against the Guns. Yeah, I did that. So okay, it was one of my matches of the week, but I want to put us under this segment here, match of the week. The issue with the match was not FTR. This is what happens when you put a couple of neophytes in and put straps on them. They were not ready for that match.
Nope.
They were not ready. The timing was off. FTR was ready. They weren't rusty. They're ready to go. But see, those kids were not ready. But here's what I like most about the match. The psychology of it.
Yes.
The Guns did all they could to try to get
I enjoyed that part. Yeah.
Yeah. The psychology of it. That's what made the match for me. The psychology. Anything in front of Paul Turner, the referee, they're trying to get disqualified so that way FTR can leave AEW. And they tried time and time again. They could not do it. And FTR wins the match. And it was a big pop for the people watching it on AEW that was in the arena. So I just like the psychology of it. But if you had a problem with that match, blame those kids. And then on top of that, by the way, wait a minute. How are they coming out to 50 Cent? Are you fucking kidding me? Those two? 50 Cent? You waste music on those two?
Tony spent money on that.
Many men for those two? In white tights? Oh, man. I hit the roof when I saw that yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute. They don't get the cool entrance. No. Those two? Get out of here. They're not even over.
That wasn't going to get them over. Everyone's going like, look at these clowns.
Yeah.
I blew a gasket. I'm like, oh, they've got to lose now. 50 Cent? Who paid for that?
Wow.
And they get
who paid for it.
Hold on a sec. And they get the Spike Lee camera. Are you kidding me? You get the do the right thing, spin around camera shot. Those two? And it's not even on a pay-per-view and they get that music. Come on, man.
Main event spot.
Well, that's because they ain't going to be on the pay-per-view, Jay Hood. You know, if they're going to get it, that was the time they were going to get it.
I mean, that music and that camera is for a pay-per-view, not just one random Dynamite in Long Island. That's what I'm saying. Like, I was stunned by that. Like, they're coming out. Many men, many. I said, who's coming out? Those two? Oh my God.
Like, you got excited. You thought it was going to be, who did Tony sign now? He started with Jay White? Who's he got now? Oh, okay. Never mind. I guess it is just a regular tag match.
Oh my God. So I like that. And I like the King against Commander. I thought that was the best match on the card for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I agree with that match. I think also we haven't talked about it really because we did it all this weekend. Charlotte and Rhea, like, that match still was so damn good. It was so physical. It was so not WWE, but I think those were my two matches, Charlotte, Rhea, and Vikingo and Commander.
Yeah, Vikingo, Commander, obviously, going to be on the top for me. I really enjoyed the Johnny Gargano match from NXT. Like, it was the thing that And again, maybe it was because I was the most comfortable because I'm familiar with Gargano and wasn't familiar with a lot of the other things going on. But I thought it was, again, pairing with the video package and then the psychology, the way they started that match, as physical as they made it. Like, a lot of times when they go to unsanctioned matches, like, oh, okay, we're going to grapple right away. You know, like, okay, this is like unsanctioned match because this is kind of a blood feud. And at one point, Gargano's throwing chairs, like his wife come, you know, Candace comes over the guardrail. She's, you know, going after his opponent with a kendo stick. The psychology, you were just talking about the psychology of the match last night. I really like the psychology of that match. Because again, too many times I feel in WWE, you have this like big blow off match that doesn't follow up with the physicality that's supposed to go with a match like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that delivered for NXT.
So that means you're going to be watching NXT now. You're going to be
No, obviously not, because I thought Bron Breakker might get called up. It turns out he went heel on Tuesday.
He couldn't even finish watching this week. He couldn't get into Tuesday. Like there was no momentum. We're like, all right, I guess I can watch this 3 days later.
That, honest to God, God bless Gabe. That was just a one-off, man. He wasn't going to do anything else besides that, the punishment of watching Stand and Deliver and then done. Not even a follow-up.
Is he watching Masters practice rounds instead of NXT on Tuesday night?
Very true. It's very true.
Hey, I don't blame him. I'm not watching that show. I'm not watching that show. Like, I'm not. Hey, I'm giving some ring. I'm watching Ring of Honor because I want to see some good action. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it because we're getting some good matches here. So, you know, but NXT, no, it died when it turned into the Jenny Jones show. That whole studio thing, the splotches, the paint. Like, okay, I'm done. It died for me. It did. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, people will listen and be like, oh, you're against the wrestlers there. No, just the philosophy. Just Shawn Michaels. That's all.
They're just not ready. And the crazy part is apparently on the network, and I've learned this recently because of some hires over there, there's a level below that they show on the network. Like wrestlers that aren't ready for NXT.
It's I forgot the name of the show. It's NXT.
Like,
it's
on, you know, Friday nights, get right? Ready or something like that. I don't know when it airs.
Get ready.
I love get that. Ready. NXT, get ready. I like that.
You say it exists.
If that's, I love that. If that's not the name of the show, like, okay, Andrew's telling us it's Level Up.
Level, yeah, same thing. Tomato, tomato.
But from now on, that show is going to be forever known as NXT Get Ready.
I love that. I love Get Ready as a name, though. Sounds like a GCW pay-per-view. They just call anything. It's like, yeah, Get Ready. They have odd names for their shows.
Well, the one thing we know for sure, this was a really interesting week in professional wrestling, not just because we're coming off of Mania Week and we had so many shows to watch, but obviously a lot of things happening outside the business as well as things are changing in the WWE. So we're going to keep our eye on that.
And it's our anniversary.
It is our anniversary. Happy anniversary, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
We're no one day to fall into, man.
It's our anniversary. Yeah.
That is the wrestling trope where there's no cake to fall into.
Nope. And the company didn't think we'd last a year.
Yeah. They didn't even get us a cake.
Nope.
But here we are, still standing 1 year later. I know one thing for sure. We will be back next week to talk everything going on in the world of professional wrestling on GKW.